All right, Tim Croker whistles time in. Ronnie Pfeffer walks his approach off. The brand new season is underway as Pfeffer puts it in the air. Second and 9 Argos from their 36. Ricky in trouble and sack inside the 30-yard line. Left hash of the Argos 13. Four receivers right, one left. That's Deron Carter. Caleros drops the pass on second. Into the end zone. Cut for the touchdown. The president, Namon Roosevelt. Now first and goal from the one far left hash. Again, Franklin under center around the left end this time. And he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Argos. Riders bring the blitz. Ray stands, throws, it's intercepted. It's intercepted and bringing it back. Nick Marshall, 25-20. The rookie taking it to the barn. Touchdown, Riders. This will be a 32-yard field goal for Brett Lowther into the north end zone to our left, right down the middle. Lowther gets it off and knocks it through, and the Riders go up 27-19 from the 27. This the last play of the game. Ricky Ray over the middle for S.J. Green. He laterals it back for Timms. He'll punch it backwards. There's an offensive lineman coming after it, and that'll do it. The game ends. The clock hits zero, and the Riders are 1-0.
Live from TD Place Stadium in Ottawa, the CFL is on the air tonight. It's Thursday night football as the Saskatchewan Roughriders 1-0 take on the 0-0 Ottawa Redblacks. And we're brought to you by Redhead Equipment, the cooperators, see Aaron and Associates Insurance in Regina and Sask Milk. The Riders manager of football operations, Mike Davis, joins us in the nation's capital. And Mike, how you feeling out here in Ottawa? I think you guys are starting to like this town.
It's good. You know, the weather's great. It's always a great experience when we come out here. So it's, hopefully we can play well and go home with a good victory.
Well, feeling good coming out of the Argo win. Just to brush back for a second on week one, what did you like about your team's effort in the 27-19 victory over the Argos?
A few things we could take away. There was a plus. You know, the poise of the offense. You know, offensive line played well. Zach played well. You know, defensively, to get pressure with just rushing three guys. And for our guys to be able to play competitively with it and challenge every receiver that they had on the field was a nice change of pace for us to see.
So do you look to carry the momentum over into tonight, or is it like a brand new week and you forget about that?
You know, you always try to carry momentum, but each week is, you know, you're trying to go 1-0 and just gain momentum as the season goes along.
It's another week where you're facing an opponent that you don't have film on this year. You've been in all these meetings. Has it been a challenge?
You know, you take away what you can from preseason. You go back and look at the past few seasons. Fortunately for us, they have similar guys on the staff. And then, you know, it's all about the chess game once the game starts. You know, obviously you'll have to make some adjustments once, you know, you get to halftime and see how it plays out.
That's one thing Zach said, Caleros, that he thinks it'll take about a quarter to figure things out.
Yeah, you know, normally it's, you know, once the butterflies get down and the anxiety stops and, you know, everybody starts down to playing just actual regular football. It normally takes anywhere from a quarter to a half. So, you know, you'll get a real grasp on how we're playing by halftime.
It's funny you say the butterflies and anxiety. Is that because you're on the road in their home opener, or is that just normal game butterfly stuff?
Yeah, I think it should be normal for guys. You know, if you don't get nervous or anxious to play football, then it in my opinion, it's time to shut it down. You know, I mean, I still get butterflies on game day, come out, and you just get anxious to see all the preparation that we put in, how it's going to work.
Riders Mike Davis with us for the Wireless Age McDougall Auctioneers and Salford Group. Are you an offensive or a defensive guy, or do you split time between the two in terms of film study?
I actually split time between both. You know, obviously I'm a defensive mind by trade, but offensive, it's always fun just to learn how they're going to attack guys. And so I try to watch both and sit in on meetings when I can on both.
So what are you seeing out of this Ottawa football team? I get the sense they're not over losing to you guys. So last year they wanted to play in the Grey Cup in their own stadium. You ruined that. Do you think that's in the back of their mind a little bit?
I mean, I'm sure a couple guys it is. But for them, if you look how they've placed their Americans and their Canadians, I mean, they're only probably playing one Canadian on defense. So their defense is loaded. They have a lot of talent. Obviously, they have a couple guys that played for us, and Jonathan Newsom and A.C. Leonard. They will be extra motivated to play, I'm sure. And offensively, you know, you can never count out Trevor Harris. You know, I know he took some bumps in the preseason, but or in the first game in the preseason. But, you know, they got some weapons and Deontay Spencer and Ellington and things like that. So you can't overlook them. But they'll be poised for a big showing coming out in the first home game.
And the new defensive coordinator in Noel Thorpe, obviously, who's much respected. So do you look at what his tendencies were in Montreal, or how do you game plan for him?
You know, you kind of do a little bit of everything. You look at their personnel, and then you see how he uses guys in Montreal, and you know, who, what guys like a Chip Cox for him, or you know, Hebert, and they have Hebert here now. So it's who's their guys that, how are they going to match up again? I mean, Noel Thorpe is notorious for being a blitzer and being really aggressive. And he's got the weapons to do that on defense, so we'll see how he uses them.
Well, you know, last week, as you know, the Argos came at you real hot early on from their front, and it seemed like they either backed off or you guys neutralized that somehow. How are you preparing for that rush tonight? Because you know it's coming.
You know, I think we were able to run the ball a little bit, and that helps. You know, obviously, anytime you can run the ball and neutralize a pass rush, you know, you have to slow down blitzing a little bit, and if we can continue to do that, we should be okay.
Was there a concerted effort to be a ground attack more than you were last year? Is that something you guys talked about in the offseason?
I mean, it's always, if you look at statistically how teams are successful, that, you know, teams that are proven ground guys have a little more success than guys that just come out and just sling it every time. You know, you can't rely on the offensive line and to pass pro 50 plays a game, and you can't expect Zach and Brandon and those guys to throw the ball 50 times a game, even though they may love it and the stats would generate from it. But, you know, offensively, you got to be a balanced attack.
Well, Zach said the O-line liked the attack last week, and I kind of got the sense he did too.
Well, yeah, anytime if you take an offensive alignment mindset, you know, if you're pass pro, you're constantly just retreating and they're getting to be the aggressor. You know, when you start running the football, then you turn the tides on them and you get to be the aggressor. So it's nice, and you kind of dish out some punishment on them, and it wears on the defensive line.
What are the keys to a victory tonight for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
You know, we need to come out to get off to a fast start on offense again, like last year when we were here. You know, if we do that, I think it'll definitely neutralize what they're trying to do. Defensively, we got to get to Trevor Harris. You know, I think they're going to try to run the ball, so you got to neutralize the run for them, and we got to get to Trevor. And if we do that, we should have some success.
Looking forward to it, Mike. Thanks for your time. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's the Riders' Mike Davis. We're for Pioneer Protector, Harvest Max CR, Young's Equipment, Hal Insurance, and Casinos Regina and Moose Jaw. Red Black's color man, Jeff Avery, joins us after this break on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Rider Nation pregame continues from Ottawa. We're for Sunbelt Rentals, Western Pizza, Flamin' Sales, and your Saskatchewan Party Caucus. Long time Ottawa Rough Riders, Renegades, Red Blacks, color man, Jeff Avery joins us in the spring. How you doing, Jeff? Always good to see you.
Real good, Rod. Yourself. Oh, it's great. A beautiful sunny day.
Isn't it? And season opener? I bet you this town's jacked.
Well, there's a lot of excitement. I think there's still some tickets left, actually, which is a little surprising, but it'll be very close, if not a sellout. So, yeah, it'll be a great night tomorrow night. Weather's going to be great.
Why do you think it's not sold out? This is a habitual sellout here, is it not?
I think people just waiting on the weather, you know, just making sure it's an open-air stadium. You know, we don't all have the big domes with the sheltered for all the seats. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll get those last tickets gone.
How do you feel about the week one bye? Good thing, bad thing, or will we find out in this game tonight?
Well, we'll probably find out. I think if I was the player, I wouldn't like it. But from a team's perspective, when you have a couple of key injuries, I think they'd appreciated it after the fact. When you first look at it, personally, I'd like to get right at it. But you're going to Trevor Harris, if you can give him an extra week, make sure that leg's solid underneath him, then great. You want that extra week.
You were doing that game here, and I was watching it. It looked bad. Who were you playing? Montreal that night, right?
It was unbelievable. He looked like he'd been, you know, shot, literally. And we joke about that all the time. But then he managed to get to his feet, but he was walking off the field and still not being able to put Hamerich weight on the leg. And then the fourth quarter, he's out walking around. So I think maybe a little bit of shock. Again, the knee getting hit, and you're thinking in your mind, oh, my God, it's the end of the season. So, anyway, it's good he's back and able to get in there this game.
Any payback from the East semifinal, do you think, from Ottawa's perspective?
I doubt it. Certainly there's some of that, I think, with individual players in certain battles, but this is just the start of a new season. And from the Red Blacks' perspective, they really want to get off to a better start. They have not done a good job in two areas, starting the season very well and playing well at home, winning games at home, I should say. So this is a big game for them in front of the fans. Nice evening, big crowd, as we were just talking about, but you've got to play well, get this competitive game, and hopefully a win.
There's a lot of pressure on this group.
I think so. I think there's a lot of pressure on the guys up front, the five offensive linemen. That's a lot of shuffling going on. You're playing a premier defensive front in Saskatchewan. This is a game where they, I'm sure, have a lot of pressure on them.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, the Riders were good enough to advance to the East Final last year. I think they're better, Jeff, particularly on defense, right?
Oh, they could be with Hughes on the end. I mean, certainly adds a new dimension for you. Those two guys in ends, and they're not slouches up the middle. I think Zach Johnson's an outstanding defensive tackle. I think he'll have a great game. So the big issue for the Red Blacks is, can you give Harris that the time he needs to go first option, second option, ball out?
Jeff Avery with us, Red Blacks radio color commentator. Can you give me, please, your thoughts on Zach Kolaros, the quarterback?
It's hard to nail him down. 2 years ago, unbelievable. You know, I would have picked him to be vying for the MVP in the league year after year after year, and then to fall off the map like he did and really struggle. I mean, literally struggle. I know he was getting pressure. I know he got knocked around a lot, but he just didn't look like the same quarterback at all. And so this is an opportunity for him, and I think with a great group, great opportunity for him to step back onto the field this year and become that MOP candidate again.
And I lastly just want to tell our listeners about yourself. Last time I saw you, it was Grey Cup. You and Russ Jackson were being honored as Men of the Year, the Alumni Men of the Year. I was at that event, invited by Leo Esmerins. It was so awesome. What a great Grey Cup. It might have been the best ever. What do you think?
Well, it was a good Grey Cup, and I know that Legends Luncheon that we organized here in Ottawa was the best one they've ever had in that, and great venue, great crowd, and everything was really, really good here in Ottawa for the Grey Cup.
Why do you think that it's growing every year? Do you think it was that of course, was the Cap-Mosca fight that kind of put it on the map
Vancouver
back in 2011, and it's just grown every year since, and they really do an awesome job with it.
Absolutely, and I think there's still and you know this in Saskatchewan, there's still a core of CFL fans that have been fans for years and years and years, so there's still a real appreciation for the teams from the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, even some of the 50s. So you get that attachment where you can get together with one of those guys from the past, and with Legends Luncheon from somebody across the country. Might be sitting down with JT Hay of the Calgary Stampeders, you know? So it's just a great event. I think it lends itself to success, and it just was a matter of us getting ourselves organized as an alumni association well enough to bring that success to the table.
There's a plug for this year's event in Edmonton, folks. Look up CFLAA and get your tickets, because I actually think it is the premier event every year at Grey Cup, and Russ Jackson broke down. You remember that? Tell our listeners, Jeff, why Ottawa is such a great CFL city.
Well, I do think there's an appreciation from the past, as I just described. So I think there is that connection. But I think now it's become more, because of the Red Blacks and because of the Ottawa Sports Entertainment Group, the atmosphere they've created here at Lansdowne Park, here at TD Place, that I think they have created a new CFL atmosphere where it is social. It's not all about the football team. It's not all about what's going on the field. It's a social event now. The whole property is involved here. So it's kind of turned the page a bit, where you still have the core CFL fan, the football fan, still butts in the seats, but you also have this younger crowd this has become a social event to come to a game.
And I love coming here. It's awesome, and I appreciate the job you guys do hosting us. Jeff, have a great call tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Jeff Avery, Red Blacks color man. We'll be back to Ottawa after this timeout on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. And welcome back to TD Place Stadium in Ottawa, everybody. Boy, do we feel lucky tonight. Week 2 in the CFL opens with what I'm calling Canada's game. There are a few that disagree. They say this week's matchup, top matchup in the CFL, is the Grey Cup rematch in Toronto with the Argos home to the Stamps Saturday. But you can't beat this one tonight, as Luke Mulliner joins me in the broadcast booth. Luke, you can't beat the weather, by the way, the weather conditions for Eder Seeds. It is 21 degrees Celsius and sunny. Feels hotter. That's 70 above Fahrenheit, and the wind is out of the north-northwest at 14 kilometers an hour. Eder Seeds, your special crop buyer and processor just east of Regina off Highway 33, online at etterseed.com. And I know you've been waiting for this game for days.
Yeah, this is going to be a great game. You're right. The weather is absolutely perfect. It's Ottawa is one of the better atmospheres in this Canadian Football League. Man, sometimes I get that itch to want to be out there on that field. Whenever you come to Ottawa, you get that feeling because it's just such a fantastic place to be able to play football in. I'm really excited about today.
Well, we've got a lot to get to on the pregame show. And coming up, by the way, Chris Jones and Rick Campbell, the two head coaches, and we'll get to your three keys as well. But you were asked, I heard it here by people in the press box, what your feeling is on tonight. And you think a double-digit win for the Rough Riders.
I think the Saskatchewan Rough Riders can pull this out by 10. But, again, to be quite honest with you, I'm expecting a really close game. The reason why that is the Ottawa Red Blacks have such a tremendous coaching staff. I'm excited to see how Noel Thorpe comes out and attacks Coach Stephen McAdoo. Over the last few years, nobody has done more with the guys that he actually has in his meeting room than Noel Thorpe. I remember watching him in his first year with Montreal. He came out. He had a lot of young legs running around there. He had a lot of experience, championship experience. He was very aggressive over the course of his experience in Montreal. That aggressiveness trailed off, but the strategic, the coverage, everything was so good, and he utilizes the guys he has so well. And there's some inexperience. I mean, if you look at the guys that Noel Thorpe's working with up front on the defensive line, Michael Clausen and Mike Wakefield, that shouldn't scare anybody, especially when you're being backed up by a guy like Darryl Watt, who was drafted in Toronto to so much hoopla. He doesn't have a ton of work with up front, but he's got some great secondary players. He's got Kyrese Hebert that seems to be the only person that's going toe-to-toe with Father Time in the history of ever. So I'm excited to see how that plays out.
Well, we talked with Mike Davis about that. That's one of the few unknowns the Riders feel coming from the Ottawa perspective is what kind of defense they're going to come out with under their first-year defensive coordinator Noel Thorpe after so many great years in Montreal. But speaking of defense, we have to spend a little time on Daron Carter starting at the boundary corner spot here tonight for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I don't think it's as big a deal as a year ago when he went into Calgary and picked off Bo Levi Mitchell for the pick six, was player of the week. It's sort of been there, done that, I think, although he said yesterday he's still got plenty to prove at that position.
Well, he's a competitor and he loves to play football. I think that the reason there hasn't been a big deal made about it this year is because you saw what he did in Calgary. Not only did he pick off Bo Levi Mitchell, I mean, he was taking on Jerome Messam at the legs one-on-one. He was getting physical. You saw him in the first exhibition game at the defensive back spot. He's knocking out ball carriers. Again, he's a competitive guy. He doesn't shy away from the physicality of the football game, and he plays well within this system. Chris Jones, they went with a lot of two safety looks last game versus Toronto. That's cover two, so he's going to have help behind him, which will allow him probably to play with his back towards the sideline, make sure he can see the entire field in front of him. And I think Nick Lewis, I was listening to a bit of our post-game show, I think Nick Lewis said it best. I mean, this is one of the best guys in the league at a jump ball situation, so why not have him over on the other side competing for those jump balls? The only thing I think he has to worry about is the speed of a guy like Deontay Spencer and what type of threat that he is throughout any situation on the football field.
This portion of the pregame for Crop Production Services, Connexus Credit Union, Marcus in New Holland, and Houston Pizza. I heard your portion of the pregame show. I heard your end of it. I assume you were asked, under what conditions or circumstances might we see Daron on offense tonight for the Rough Riders?
Yeah, I to be quite honest with you, you don't need Daron Carter, or you shouldn't need Daron Carter between the 35s. Against the Ottawa Red Blacks, when you have a guy like Naaman Roosevelt, when you have Jordan Williams-Lambert, Caleb Holly, Josh Stanford's had a really good camp, and again, he managed to get open a couple times last game versus Toronto. Shaq Evans is a baller. I mean, he would have been more of a NFL threat if he had just not gotten hurt when he was with the Jets in 2014. He never seemed to get back on track, but Shaq Evans has a ton of talent. So between the 35s, especially when you look at the offense, this is a run-first offense. You got big Jerome Messam, you got Trey Mason, you got Spencer Moore clearing holes for guys. So run the rock. You don't need them between the 35s. And if the situation dictates in the red zones and the 25s going in, then you can put them in. You're not going to be there for long. It's not like you having 12 play drives in the red zone back to back. So there's going to be spots they can utilize Duron. Hopefully they don't need him between the 35s. I really think that if they're using Duron Carter between the 35s this game, it'll be in the second half. And if they do, it's because the offense isn't going. And that will be a bad sign altogether.
And so many are asking, is Duron upset about playing defense because it'll hurt his offensive stats? And the answer to that is, you alluded to it earlier, he just wants to be on the field. He just wants to play football. He's not selfish in that regard.
I think people, especially the CFL media, they continue to try to bait him into saying something selfish or saying something controversial. And it's not happening because that's not who he is at his heart of hearts. This guy loves playing football. This guy is a football player. And there's a lot of defensive backs that have played in this league for a very long time that aren't willing to bring the physicality that Duron Carter is. And it's one of the reasons why Chris Jones likes him. And again, he fits the Chris Jones mold, right? Chris Jones historically has always had big defensive backs all the way from when he first came into this league all the way up to now. So Duron Carter is a perfect guy for that, I think, for that vision that Chris Jones has of defensive backs in his system.
And you mentioned Shaq Evans. You know, people don't understand this group of receivers. They're going to get to know them, but they're a group that made Chad Owens, Rob Bagg, and Bakari Grant expendable. Two Canadians tonight, Josh Stanford and Devon Bailey, Caleb Hawley, Jordan Williams-Lambert. Obviously, we know what Naaman Roosevelt can do. Shaq Evans, that's a group under the position coach Travis Moore that they have a tremendous amount of confidence in.
Those guys can make plays. And again, this is not an offense that needs to rely on their receiving core. This is an offense that needs to run the football, get themselves in second manageable situations. I was talking to a guy in the media room today, and he's like, oh, well, do you think they're going to come out and have to dink and dunk? It's not they have to dink and dunk. It's they want to. Literally, they want to be able to control the tempo of a game. I look back to Edmonton's championship drive in the last 2 minutes versus Ottawa in 2015. There was 2 minutes on the clock, and Stephen McAdoo, it was ball control. And that's the heart of this offense. It's controlling the ball, controlling the tempo of the game, starting on the ground. It was highlighted in 2015 when they made that last drive in the last 2 minutes, and the better victories in Rider Nation that Stephen McAdoo and Chris Jones have been a part of here, there's been an element of ball control in every single win they've had.
We are 37 minutes away from kickoff in the Week 2 lid lifter in the CFL. We're at TD Place Stadium in Ottawa. On the way, Chris Jones and Rick Campbell. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Coming off an impressive 27-19 win over Toronto in their home opener last Friday. Well, tonight they face an Ottawa team who had a week one bye, and tonight hosts their own home opener. Luke, there's a lot of excitement leading up to tonight's game, and the Riders feel they're going to have to match the Red Blacks' intensity early on in this one.
Well, absolutely. If you're a team that hasn't had the benefit of that week one game like the Ottawa Red Blacks, you have to come out motivated. It would have been really interesting to be a fly on the wall in practice in Ottawa to see how how this coaching staff for the Ottawa Red Blacks got their team to compete. They needed to really come out, have a good week of practice, and find ways to get after it a little bit, because the rest of the Canadian Football League was playing real-time games. So this is the first time we'll see the Ottawa Red Blacks in the 2018 season, and they're going to have to find a way to come out lit on fire. But I'll tell you what, they've got some guys that'll get them there. You got Kyrese Hebert in the middle. There's nobody who can motivate a locker room like Kyrese Hebert. I'm excited.
Well, when we look at your three keys, it's not very often we start with special teams, but that's where you want to start tonight, special teams matchups.
Well, field position is everything. And last week against Toronto, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders didn't start a drive over the halfway point of the field, right? So over the 50. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders have to get something going there, but Bobby Dice versus Craig Dickinson is a phenomenal strategic matchup. So when you're looking at the kick game and you understand how field position, especially to start drives, affects a game, you look at this matchup and say, wow, this has some fireworks here in the potential.
And another one that everybody's been talking about all week from both sides is the Riders' defensive line against Ottawa's offensive front.
Well, I think that everybody's talking about the defensive line just because of the amount of pressure that they were able to manufacture on Ricky Ray. But realistically, this game, week two, I think there's some advantages that the Saskatchewan Roughriders need to capitalize on. The Ottawa Redblacks are starting their first-round pick in 2018, Mark Corte. This is a raw rookie who's getting the start in his first professional game against a really good defensive front. Evan Johnson, it's only his second year out of the University of Saskatchewan. Now you look at the other side, Killer Willie Jefferson, Zach Evans, Mac Henry, Charleston Hughes, Toby Antigua. I mean, you have to really come out here excited if you're a defensive lineman for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, because you understand that, hey, there's some inexperience out there and they can capitalize on it. I think that Zach Evans really has some confidence coming into this. I know me and you sort of both talked to him there this week. He's excited about going up against a guy like Alex Mateus. Obviously, he's seen him for so long when he was a member of the Redbacks, but he also probably knows a bunch of weaknesses that Mateus has, John Gott, and he's probably frothing at the mouth to get at Mark Corte.
And you mentioned it off the top. Let's do it again. You believe it's very key for the Riders to start fast tonight and on offense. What do they have to do?
Well, specifically the offensive line. It was week one. The offensive line took a while to get in sync. Their footing was off. They weren't on the same page in some of their early play calling. So when you look at this Ottawa Redblacks team and you say, hey, listen, they haven't even played in week one, you don't want to give them any advantage, right? They're going to be excited. They're going to, but to be honest with you, they're not going to have their sea legs under them the way they want to. So don't come out. Right? Make them feel like, hey, this is going to be a physically taxing game from the first whistle.
We are 30 minutes away from kickoff here in Ottawa. And on the way, we'll check in with the Chris Jones Show. We're brought to you by Genuity Roundup Ready Canola, special blend by Weiser's, Sastel, and Young's Equipment. From TD Play Stadium, this is the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Twenty-seven minutes away from kickoff in Ottawa, Riders and Red Blacks coming up. It's time for the Chris Jones Show, brought to you by Seedmaster, CAA Saskatchewan, McDougall Auctioneers, and AGCO. And for the third straight year, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders under Chris Jones practiced on Parliament Hill. They did it with Wednesday's walkthrough, and Chris Jones explained why they practiced at Parliament Hill on Wednesday.
You know what, we did that a couple of years ago. We didn't even really think about it until the day we were walking through the Capitol a few years ago, and we looked out the window, and I happened to tell the security guard, I was like, hey, there's a perfectly good field right there. Why don't we just practice there? And he said, well, that's public ground, so certainly you can do it. And I told him, I said, a big white Ford F-150 is going to pull up tomorrow with all our equipment. So we just kind of started it then, and it became something that the guys seemed to really like to do. And it's right there at the hotel we stay at, so it's very convenient for us. So, you know, I think it's good for the players from both countries to be able to see the Capitol. I mean, it's amazing how many of the kids from Canada still haven't seen that before as well. So I think it's an honor.
Do you think they grasp the historical significance of
it? Well, they're young. I don't think they grasp a whole lot, you know. But, you know, I think, you know, after a while it'll sink in, you know, about what they've been able to do.
What did you see in Daron Carter that made you believe he could make a switch and effectively to the other side of the ball?
Well, we kind of got fortunate on that one too. Daron, he wore me out last year telling me he could play defense, and he kept telling me he could play defense, and he kept telling me he could play defense. And so one day I just stuck him over there to keep him from coming over and telling me, and he went over on defense, and he just kind of was a natural at doing that job. And in fact, I told our defensive back coach, you know, don't try to tell him too much. Just let him get over there and do what he does, and then we can fine tune later, you know. And he's done a real good job at camp this year of playing both ways, and took a lot of reps doing it because he's having to, you know, get reps on offense and get reps on defense. And I think he's a much better defensive back now than what he was at the end of last year.
Zach Caleros, to get that win under his belt right away week one, how much do you think that helps with his confidence?
I don't know. You have to ask Zach. I mean, you know, certainly he should, as we move along, I mean, he gets more weeks, more reps that, you know, normally that's the case. But, you know, you'll just have to ask Zach if he feels any more comfortable than what he did a week ago.
That is the head coach and general manager of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Chris Jones. When we come back, we'll hear from Ottawa sideline boss Rick Campbell. We're 25 minutes away from kickoff in the nation's capital, and this is the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network. Minutes away from kickoff in Ottawa. Riders and Red Blacks coming up on a beautifully sunny night here in Ontario. We are brought to you for the opposition coach interview by the Co-operators. See Lori Jasper and her team in Yorkton and Melville, Capital Auto Mall, Nick's Service, and Houston Pizza. As we head across the field, it's with Ottawa head coach Rick Campbell this week, who talks about having week one off.
The bye was good. We got some extra work in, got a few extra practices before we started working on Saskatchewan, and then was able to get a full prep week in playing Saskatchewan. So our guys took advantage of it, and you know, we're hoping that we're healthy and have a full tank of gas tomorrow night.
What did you see from this group in preseason with the 2-0 record?
I liked our compete, and they have fun playing the game. And I thought we're building some good team chemistry, and that's what's been encouraging so far.
Trevor Harris, how comfortable do you feel in his health? He practiced all week, and how much did it help in the case of the week one bye for him to be able to start?
Yeah, it certainly didn't hurt that he got more time, but he seems totally good to go, and he wasn't limited at practice in any way and had a full prep week, so he's good to go.
In terms of some of the new faces, there's a lot of new faces on defense, 6 new starters, a new defensive coordinator. What have you seen from this group and some of the new guys?
Well, I think it's a good mix. We have some continuity from last year in both our coaches and players, and which we did a lot of good things, but now we've injected especially some players with some veteran presence and some confidence with the 3 defensive backs and AC Leonard at D end and Kyrie's, and so there's a good new mix, and you know, looking forward to seeing those guys play. They've had a good spirit about them, good energy, and looking forward to seeing those guys fly around.
What did you see from Saskatchewan in week one on film? A big win against Toronto.
Yeah, they're an athletic group. They're well coached. They have a knack for coming up with big plays at the right time, and that was true in that game. You know, the fourth quarter, and Toronto's, you know, marching down the field trying to get the go-ahead score, and then the Saskatchewan comes up with the pick 6. So you really want to limit the game-changing plays by them.
That's Red Blacks head coach Rick Campbell as we head across the field. We'll be right back to Ottawa after this timeout on the Co-operators Rider Radio Network. Minutes away from game time here at sunny TD Play Stadium. We're brought to you by Salford Group, Kinexus Credit Union, SaskTel, and Flamin Sales. Let's take a look at the Riders' injured list for this Week 2 game. It is a presentation of the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. The Riders have 7 players on their injured list. They're all on 6 game with undisclosed injuries. Linebacker number 52, Brandon Bartlett. Kicker number 21, Tyler Crepina, who's gone for the season. Canadian linebacker number 27, Kevin Francis. Canadian wide receiver, Jake Hardy, gone for the year with a torn ACL. Cornerback number 3, Nick Marshall, on the 6-game injured list with a hand injury. Defensive back number 14, Denzel Radford, out. And offensive lineman number 59, Josiah St. John. On the suspended list, one name, that's running back number 8, Marcus Thigpen. He is serving the second of a 2-game suspension for a positive PED violation. He'll be eligible to come off suspension next week when the Riders host the Montreal Alouettes. Entering week 2 on the Riders practice roster are linebacker number 50, Carl Bradford, D lineman number 99, Mathieu Breton, linebacker number 45, Alexander Chevrier, offensive lineman number 58, Tecobi Cofield, defensive back number 25, Aaron Ivory. Rookie defensive lineman number 94, Tresor Mifuta. Kick returner receiver number 85, Kyran Moore. And Canadian receiver number 81, Mitchell Picton. And again, that's the Riders injured list and practice roster report for the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. Injuries cost. Stop, think, save a life, a limb, and your bottom line. Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, constructing safety leadership. We'll be back with more from Ottawa after this brief timeout. This is the Rider Nation pregame across the Co-Operators Rough Rider Radio Network. Minutes away from kickoff here in Ottawa. Rod and Luke with you from the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth. Search it, watch it, bid on it, buy it at McDougalBay.com and on the McDougal Bay app. I'm telling you what, Luke Mulliner, I'm not complaining. Beautiful night, but man, oh man, that sun's blinding coming from the west over the far side of the stadium. I would not want to be fielding a punt or kick looking into that tonight.
Yeah, luckily the field is shielded by these grandstands, but this sun, I mean, we're talking about the ultimate first world problem here, having sun be a factor in our game. But right now, it is beaming directly at us.
It's baking, and I love it. This is what the CFL is all about. And by the way, in terms of setting the scene, it'll probably be announced as a sellout by the time the game kicks off. 24,000 is what this place holds. If you have occasion to be near a television and can catch any of the game, you won't believe the amount of green in the crowd. The most that I've seen in many, many years coming here to Ottawa, at least since the reincarnation of CFL football in Ottawa back in 2014. So the tractor factor is out in full effect here tonight in Ottawa. We're brought to you by Young's Equipment, Casinos Regina, and Moose Jaw. Always entertaining. Your Saskatchewan Party Caucus and Pioneer Protector Harvest Max CR traits. Some roster notes. Tidy things up here. Two scratches for the Red Blacks from their 46-man roster are defensive end number 43, Jonathan Newsom, the one-time Rider, and Canadian receiver number 80, Austin Hartley. For the Riders, their two scratches from the 46-man reserve roster are defensive end number 30, Eric Stryker, the rookie out of Oklahoma, and number 41, Albert Awachi, the sophomore fullback from the University of Toronto. Zach Caleros starts at quarterback for the Rough Riders, his second start for the Green. He's backed up by Brandon Bridge and David Watford. Jerome Messam starts in the backfield, backed up by Trey Mason. The fullback is Spencer Moore. Starting wide receivers, Shaq Evans and Joshua Stanford. The slot backs are Caleb Hawley, Naaman Roosevelt, and Jordan Williams-Lambert. The reserve receiver is Devon Bailey. Up front on the offensive line, Dan Clark's the center. Jarvis Harrison and Brendan Labatt are the guards. The tackles, Thad Coleman and Taron Vaughn. The sixth offensive lineman is Darius Bladick. Defensively, up front on the line, the ends are Willie Jefferson and Charleston Hughes. The tackles inside, Zach Evans and Mac Henry. The reserve D lineman, Toby Antigua, Kurt Majit, Eddie Steele, Chad Jeter, and Jordan Reeves. Starting middle linebacker is Sam Hurl. Outside, Derek Moncrief and Sammy Guavin. The reserve linebackers are Cameron Judge, Mika Tights, Alex Gagne, and Adrian Clark. Starting at safety, the six-year vet from the University of Calgary, Mike Edom. He's backed up by Marc-Olivier Brulette in his ninth CFL season out of the University of Montreal. The halfbacks are Ed Gainey and Cresden Butler. And on the corners, Duron Carter and Jovan Johnson. Handling the punting for the Riders tonight is Josh Bartel. Kicking off and handling field goals is Brett Lowther. And in the return game, it will be one, Christian Jones. So the Ottawa Redblacks set to take the field coming out of the tunnel. The Saskatchewan Roughriders in all white uniforms are already on the field. When we come back, kickoff on Thursday Night Football in the CFL. From the nation's capital, you're listening to the Co-Operators Rough Rider Radio Network.